Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, a children's moment from our youth pastor, Justin Livingston, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor, Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m. and in our parking lot for our drive-in service at 11:30 a.m. here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you have chosen to worship here with us today. It's great to see you all inside of our sanctuary. It's great to see our many friends who are joining us on Facebook Live or through our church website. And so we hope and pray that this time that we set aside for worship will fill us, will renew us in our journey of faith, and we'll feel the presence of Christ here alive and moving in our life today. So as we're gathered, we welcome you, especially if this is your first time with us in worship and you are our guest today. We hope that worship fills your spirit and touches your soul. Following our church service today, we hope that you'll stop by our Welcome Center. We have a gift for you as being our guest today. We hope that you'll receive it and then worship with us next Sunday morning as well. Welcome our friends who are joining us online for the very first time. A little note about our worship service. We have communion every single time that we get together for worship. We gather around our Lord's table, as we say, and so as you're worshiping online, we invite you to have ready there at your house the elements of communion that you will need. And so if it's coffee and donuts and grapes and crackers, anything as good as you celebrate communion later on in our church service together. For those of us inside of our sanctuary, we trust that you picked up one of our little all-in-one communion kits. We'll need those for communion later on in our worship service. We also invite you to take out your worship bulletin that you received. And on the right-hand side, you'll find a little tear-off sheet that says Connect at the very top. We ask you to take that out now and tear it off and fill it out and let us know that you were here with us in church today. After you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates that are located outside the sanctuary doors on both the left and right hand side. You can take it with you as you leave the sanctuary following our worship service today. Looking ahead to things happening today and throughout this week, we're so excited that today is Backpack Blessing. Our kids may not be excited that today's Backpack Blessing, as tomorrow is the first day of school and throughout the rest of this week for various schools. But we're glad that our kids are here and lots of them have brought their backpacks so we can pray for our kids, pray for our teachers and faculty and staff as we look forward to a great school year starting throughout this week. On the back of your bulletin, you see that it is also back to school week for some of our adults. Having been away for the past few weeks, our pastor's Bible study resumes on Wednesday night at 6:30. And so if you're looking for a place to study the Bible and to deepen your faith, we hope that you will join us. We meet on Zoom at 6:30 on Wednesdays, as I said. And so if you'd like the Zoom link to tune in from wherever you are on Wednesday nights, reach out to us. We can certainly pass that along. We always study the scriptures that I'm going to be preaching from the following Sunday. So by coming to Bible study on Zoom on Wednesday nights, you get like a little behind-the-scenes look at the things that we're going to be talking about in church. And so that picks up this Wednesday night. You see in your bulletin other things that are happening in our church. We have a CPR class coming up soon. Our big kind of kickoff Sunday is the 12th of September. There's new adult classes, new kids' Sunday school classes. There's a ministry fair happening, and so lots of things coming up here in the life of our church that we're very excited about. And so we hope that you'll be equally excited as well. But it's a great day to be together here as a church family this morning. Let's stand up and say good morning to the folks around us. You can wave hello to our friends online with a camera over my head. Better is one day. Thank you.
Beloved God of every season, even here and now, we sense the promise of autumn creeping in. The days are growing shorter. Our children are returning to their routines of school. Time moves ever faster, it seems. And yet your love remains constant, always with us, ever urging us into your presence. Help us, O God, to draw nearer to your gracious heart as we seek to become a more complete and faithful church family. Bless us here in this time of worship, for we offer it to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We now invite you to find your seat, and as you're doing so, we invite the young kids of our church to come on down forward to meet Pastor Brooke for today's Children's Moment.
Saving grace, gonna praise his name all over the place. And he will rock you. He will rock you. He will rock you. One more time. He will rock you.
Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? All right, not too bad. Well, I know that I saw backpacks coming in the door, and they're not up here with you, which is okay, so maybe most of you left them back there. So we're going to have our backpack blessing. Just know that your backpacks are blessed no matter where in the room they currently are, because I know I saw them coming in the doors today. Well, this week is back to school week. How are we feeling about that? Are we scared? Yeah, absolutely. Great. Okay. Excited? Anybody a little nervous? Yeah, lots of feelings about going back to school, right? Throughout our country, many people have already gone back to school. And this week is here in Burlington is our turn. Just a minute, okay? This week here in Burlington is our turn to go back to school. And so one of the most important things that teachers do at the beginning of the school year is to find out how much you already know. And in order to do that, they might give you a quiz or ask questions so that they know where to start with their class and their teaching. And I was thinking, I wonder if it'd be a good idea if your Sunday school teachers gave you a little Bible quiz so that they would know what you knew about the Bible. You think that's a good idea? You guys want a Bible quiz? Okay, mixed excitement. So I'm going to just ask a couple questions. Let's just see how we do with a few Bible questions. How many of each animal did Moses take on the ark with him? Two of each kind. How many of each animal did Moses take on the ark? We got two. We got 2,000. Let's see what the answer is on the back of my card. Zero. Oh, that's right, because Moses wasn't the one who took the animals, was he? It was Noah. Oh, my goodness sakes. Okay, let's try this next one. Did people in the Bible use technology? Do you think people in the Bible used technology? No. Yes, no, mixed, okay. It says, oh my goodness, yes, Moses downloaded the commandments to his tablet from the cloud. Oh my gosh, those were trick questions, weren't they? Those were not quite fair questions. Oh, awesome, we brought it up. Thanks, Hunter. Okay, one more question. I promise this is not a trick. According to the Bible, can 1 + 1 ever equal 3? It equals 2, doesn't it? One person plus one person gives you two people. But the back of my card says yes. Does anybody remember a Bible verse that might teach us why that could be true? How 1 + 1 could actually equal 3? If you add one more. Well, there is a scripture in the Bible where Jesus says, where 2 or 3 gather in my name, there I am with them. So it's almost like if there were two people and Jesus is there too, that 1 + 1 gives us a third person, right? Because Jesus is there. And I don't know how many people are here today with us, but if we took the number of our attendance, we could add one more because Jesus is gathered here with us today. I want to remind you that that's exactly how it's going to be this week when you take your first steps down the halls at school, because you don't go alone. Jesus is with you. So is your church. And so you may remember this from past years. We've done this, I don't know how long, but we have special tags for your backpacks. It says, God's got my back and First Christian Church members are praying for me. This is a reminder so that you can remember every day, first day, last day, good day, and bad day, that God's got your back and that this church loves you and is praying for you. And goodness sakes, this church hopes you have the best year ever. So we are going to pray a blessing over not only you, not only your backpacks, but also any teachers that we have here in our congregation, administrators, church, school staff. We're going to pray a blessing on all those going back to school this week. So why don't you join me in prayer? Loving God, be with these people, students, teachers, administrators, and school workers. Be with them and help them as they begin a new year of learning, teaching, growing, and serving. May their minds be sharp, but we also pray that they will remember that making mistakes is all part of the learning process. It's okay to need our erasers. God bless our backpacks as they carry glue sticks and homework folders and laptops and new notebooks waiting to be filled. Thank you for schools and for teachers and for libraries. Thank you for the gift of curiosity and for your wisdom that is all around. And all God's kids shouted out, amen. All right, so I'm going to give you one of these. If you have a brother or a sister who may not be up here, I'm happy to give you more than one. Just tell me how many. Well, your sister's right there.
Praise his name all over the place. He will rock you.
As we come together during this time, it is a time when we can join together in prayer to bring whatever stressors may be weighing on us, worries for family and friends and the world, and we come together lifting those to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving and eternal God, we thank you for this opportunity to pause and worship today. We thank you that we have freedom to worship you. We pause to notice the bountiful gifts and blessings that surround us, certain that although we go through times of need or hardship, you are our greatest gift, and you are there through all the comings and goings of our life. We give you thanks for the forgiveness you so endlessly provide. We confess how badly we are in need of that forgiveness. Forgive us when we are ambivalent and allow our freedom to worship to evolve into guilt-ridden obligation. We confess that when we feel this way, we enter into worship timidly and reluctantly. Forgive us our tendency to complain about the state of the world in all its human error and fault. Inspire in us the need and drive to grow and serve and change those things we see that are disheartening. Forgive us our tendency to be complacent. We often expect others to work and right the wrongs without much involvement from us. Forgive us when we are unable to trust in you. Forgive us when the cares of the world rise up and cause us to fear and cower. Be to us a powerful healing presence when our fears and anxieties become overwhelming. Like Peter when he was sinking, we often feel like we are sinking and overwhelmed by life. We look at the storms brewing around us and sometimes the storm within us, and our fears intensify. Be the source of our strength when we are weak. Be a solid rock beneath our feet when we wander and when we falter and slip. Be our shield and wrap your protective arms around us when we face danger and cause the wind and storms of life within to be calmed. Be with those who live a lonely life. Be with those who are in danger daily. Be with the hungry, the desperate, and the homeless. Give us grace and the vision to craft a new world where all of your children eat at a table of plenty, where all are sheltered and where peace and love and justice abound. We admit that so often we help others. We want to help others, but we don't know how. Guide us in your service to help those around us. We pray for your blessing and healing to be with those whose health is fragile, for those in the hospital, in rehabilitation, or whose health is failing them at home. Give them peace and rest as they recuperate, and may your will be done. We pray today for the family of Bonnie Landis, for Ron Smith and the Dara family as they mourn the passing of Bonnie. May your presence bring them a peace that surpasses all understanding. Comfort them in their time of grief and fill them with the hope that can only be found in you. Oh God, we pray for the people of Afghanistan. We pray that human life would be spared, that peace would reign throughout the world, and that your blessing would shower upon all people of this earth. We give thanks for the gift of your Son, who redefined love and relationship. We thank you for the blessing we have in him and in the eternal life that he promises. We pray all of this in his name, and we lift together the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Today, as we continue on in our sermon series called Growing Up, we again turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We are continuing with our Growing Up sermon series this morning. We started reading through the back half of the book of Ephesians at the beginning of August, and so throughout this series, the Apostle Paul has been explaining to the Ephesians and also to us that in order to grow up in our faith, we need to grow up in Jesus Christ, he says. Just like here in town this week, as our kids and grandkids are going back to school, and soon we will see all kinds of back-to-school pictures posted online, we will remark and comment about how much our kids have grown up over the summer. Paul says so it is in our lives of faith. We have to deepen our faith in Jesus Christ. We have to trust God more. We have to pray more and serve more. If we want to get better at our faith, Paul says, we have to work on it. And so that's what we're about together throughout this series, growing up in our faith together. Earlier this summer, this adventure sports guy by the name of Krill de Rameau decided that he was going to kayak from California to Hawaii. You know those tiny little boats, those like little kayaks that people throw in like the back of their pickup truck? They like float down the river. They drop them in like Lake Geode or like Big Hollow. These tiny little boats that are no longer than like a mid-sized sedan. This guy decided that he was going to get in one on purpose and paddle from California to Hawaii. And even crazier, he decided that he was going to do it all by himself alone. No support crew on board, no teammate in the boat to like take different shifts sleeping, no one else to look at or talk to. It would just be him and the open water, his paddle, and the sharks. I mean, I've seen enough Shark Week to know that there are sharks in the ocean, so it was him and his paddle in the boat and the sharks there. But this fellow Krill de Rameau was unswayed by the craziness of this idea, so he got everything ready. He made this specialized kayak that had like a little sleeping quarters in the back. He had a GPS tracking device. He had a satellite phone to call people back on shore. He had food and he had water. And so in the early part of the summer, having mapped out his route and having gotten everything ready, he set out. There was a story about him one night on the evening news, and so having heard his story, I actually looked up his website because he had this little GPS tracking device on his kayak, and so you could follow him along the way. And so I followed him for a while, and everything started out great. He was staying on course. He was following like a little dotted line where he was supposed to go. He was heading out to sea off the coast of California. He was doing great for like the first 10 days. Like the first 20 days, maybe. But then everything started to go wrong.
this huge storm came up on the oceans, and so he had to drop his sea anchor down, and he had to ride out the storm for like 3 or 4 days. But then things went from bad to worse, because one day there in late June, his sea anchor came loose, and the kayak began taking on water, and soon he was tossed left and right, up and down. He eventually had to call the United States Coast Guard to come and evacuate him from dying in the ocean. I mean, it had to be one scary situation. If we were in that boat, we'd be praying for any kind of miracle, any kind of rescue. We'd be praying that Jesus Christ would come walking across the water and like calm the waves. Maybe Moses would come and part the Pacific Ocean like he did the Red Sea. Anything to get us out of there. But we know this feeling. Not that we've been on a kayak in the middle of the ocean, but there are times in our life when we are just floating along, doing as great as can be in life. Everybody is healthy. Everything is great in life and work. I mean, life is as perfect as it can be. But then before we know it, there are times in our lives where it feels like we can barely stay afloat. Sometimes it feels like we are tossed left and right, up and down. We're taking on water. We're not sure if we can handle anything else that has come upon us in life. Soon we're completely off kilter, totally off our axis, have zero center and no anchor in life whatsoever. You see, it was like that. It was like that for the people that Paul's writing to in Ephesians. These early Christians, way back centuries ago, were trying their best to live the Christian life. But they had so much going on in life, so many things pulling at their time and their energy and life, it seemed like they had no anchor. They had lost all of their focus in life. If you were here in church a few weeks ago, or maybe you watched us online a few weeks ago, then you heard that to help through this, Paul was trying to give some practical advice. We heard some of his practical advice in like Ephesians 4. He tells them to imitate God. He says, be united as Christians together. Put away wrangling and nonsense. He says, focus on Jesus Christ. And so with this today, he says, how we spend our time matters. What we do with our lives makes a difference. Not just the things that we say and think and what we do for a living, but how we actually live our life, he says, makes a difference. I mean, Paul didn't live in our day today. But from what he says in the scriptures, it seems that he understands what it means to be worried and stressed about so many things that happen in life. I mean, we are worried about the ongoing, rolling pandemic. We're worried about school starting and our jobs and our health and our family's health and the state of the world and the state of the universe. We're worried about so many things that if we try to list them all, we run out of paper because it is a lot. And so what he says today is that there's a remedy for this feeling. There's a remedy when it feels like we have no anchor. When like the Ephesians, it feels like the boat is taking on water and we're being tossed all around. Paul says, listen. The remedy and the solution in the ways of Christ is to be filled with the Spirit. In fact, he says, be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says a life that is filled with the Spirit is one that is centered on God. And in fact, what he's describing in the passage here, singing songs and making melodies and giving thanks to God for everything, what he's describing in the passage is in fact what we do together in worship. He's saying the remedy for a life that feels out of control is worship, is what we do together in church. He's calling us to make worship the center and anchor of our life, because when we don't, everything else that vies for our attention, all those things that pull at us, that try to become the number one priority, that pull us left and right and back and forth, all those things, Paul says, get in the way of finding the love of God. See, what it's saying is that being filled with the Holy Spirit is taking what we do together in worship and having it affect everything else that happens the rest of the week. Living a worship-filled kind of life. I mean, you may know that in every week there are 168 hours. And so whenever you do the math, that means like on average in each month there are about 5,040 hours a week. And so when you think about coming to church and coming to worship, or maybe worshiping online at home or coming to our drive-in service, this little part of our life is a tiny part. I mean, it's 1 hour of the other 168 throughout the week. It's only 4 hours if you come every single week throughout the month of like the 5,040 hours of the month. What happens here is a tiny little bit. And so when you think about it in relation to all the other hours that we spend our day, worship in our time is like near the bottom. I mean, we spend much more time in life eating, at least I do, thinking about food, thinking about cooking, about what we're going to have the next meal. We spend like 40 or 50 hours each week out of the 168 working. We hopefully spend 7 or 8 hours each night sleeping. And so if you were to line everything up from top to bottom, what we do in worship ranks at the bottom of the barrel. We spend more time reading and watching the news than we do coming to worship. We spend more time worrying about the news than we do worshiping. I mean, it's no wonder at times why we feel like we lose our anchor and we totally feel off kilter. But what Paul is saying is to make this 1 hour of worship infiltrate and affect everything else that we do. To live a worshipful, worship-filled kind of life is more than just a thankful life, but it's one filled with God's Spirit. What this means is that in our mind, as we're driving down the road, and it's like these late summer, early fall mornings, and like the sun is just coming up over the rolling fields and hills here, instead of driving down the road thinking about everything that we have to do that day, thinking about how the road construction started in May and is still going on here and now, thinking about all the things we're worried about, when we see the sun glistening over the fields, instead of our to-do list, in the back of our mind, we hear Psalm 8 that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God as you see the sunrise. You marvel at the work of God's hands in the cornfields waving around you." It means that whenever we're sitting in meetings and we're having a hard time making sense of the difficult decisions and we can't figure out the right thing to do, in the back of our mind goes that old time hymn, "This is my Father's world. Let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet." It means that in those times when we feel so far away and every decision seems to take us farther away from God and every turn seems to be the wrong one, we hear that old spiritual song that says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves someone just like me." See, the life that Paul is talking about is one that is centered and anchored in worship. 1 hour of the week out of all the other hours that we breathe. Because here in this hour, we remember not just who we are, but whose we are in God's love. We're called to be filled with God's Spirit so that we can live a worship-filled kind of life. Let us pray. Oh, loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for your peace that fills us every single day, that is with us through every breath that we take, that is with us in school and work and traffic
and business and life and fun that is with us all the time and every place. Help us, O God, to center our hearts and minds here now to this hour, to worship you, to be filled with your Spirit, to say thank you, Lord, for everything you've given us, to offer our prayers and heart's deepest desires to you, knowing that you hear us and bless us and in your time answer us. Fill us with your Spirit, O God, so that we can live a Spirit-filled, cross-shaped kind of life. Bless us and use us in the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
One of the ways that we are reminded whose we are is that while we are in worship, we gather around this table. It's something that we repeat week after week, and yet it never loses its significance. It never loses any specialness. We gather here to remember and to tell stories. We tell the story that Jesus had gathered with his disciples. They were celebrating the Passover. As they were eating, he took a loaf of bread. He blessed it and he broke it. He passed it among them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." He also took a cup which was filled with wine and he passed it among them. He said, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of this in remembrance of me." It is for these gifts of bread and cup of Christ's body and blood that we now lift up our prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray.
Will you bow your head and join me in prayer? Lord, we take a moment to sit quietly before you and give you thanks. We lift our silent prayers to you and give you this moment to write them on our hearts. We've heard the word, we've heard the message, and now we open our hearts and ask you to imprint on us your words, what you would have us learn and take home in our message. Holy Spirit, thank you. And as children, we come to you and thank you for our seat at the table, your gift of salvation, eternal life, all things good and beautiful. Just ask you now to bless us as we partake in this. These symbols, this blood and this little piece of bread that symbolize all you are to us. And we give you thanks. And we give you praise forever. So at this moment, this time of the service that is really the heart of our worship, we just give it to you and thank you. And praise you and worship you. Be with us now as we partake. We ask this in your holy, holy name. Amen.